Hey everyone, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm on the Wilder Network. You miss a show here, you miss quite a lot. We always try to have a great show for you, always wonderful and knowledgeable guests right here whenever I can get them. And even if I'm flying solo, it is always, this show is always fun, it's always exciting, and it's always informative. Once again, welcome to the show. Grab your family, grab your friends, sit back and relax, and let me do all the work. Once again, welcome to the show. Have fun, everyone.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that wide, that arousing sounding introduction. My name is George Wilder Jr. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago on the Wilder Network. It is really, really nice outside as I sit in my studio looking out on the avenue. It's pretty nice. I think it's around 50-60 degrees outside. At least I'm near the lake. I think it's 56, which is great. You know, 56 beats 36. It beats 26. So 56 degrees over here where I am, that's pretty decent. I would think that's pretty decent. And it's great outside. It looks great. I feel good. I'm looking out on the boulevard. The sun is shining. The sun is shining in my heart. I try to be up. You know, up and, you know, just having a good time being on the air, and I'm glad of that. And I would like to say to everybody listening or to everybody who may podcast this show for later, Happy Easter. Happy Easter, everyone. This is the day before Easter. Tomorrow's Easter Sunday, and I'm going to church tomorrow. Can you believe that? Yeah, well, I haven't been in a while. I admit it. I've been kind of a... kind of lazy, you know, but I'm going to get to church tomorrow because one of the things I have realized, you know, a lot of people, if they're not regular church goers, they usually try to go to church at least once a year, and that once a year is always, sometimes it's on Easter Sunday. Yeah, I used to be an avid church goer. I used to go every day, you know, but I still managed to go. Me and my family, we're going to show up. We're going to go tomorrow. Me and my son, we're going to wind up at the church tomorrow. We're going to, pray and all that, do all that kind of thing. Pray for the world, you know, pray for, you know, because there's a lot of sad things going on in the world, and make sure we all pray for good things and better things for this world. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago. My call-in number is 347-857-1762. You can always call in or podcast the show for later and give me your feedback, your input on just about anything on the show. I mean, this is not only my show, it's your show. It's an internet radio show. But it's still a radio show and it's a talk show, and I am your host, and I'm so. This is the 60th show. This is my 60th episode. This is the 60th. I mean, I've done 60 shows so far. But, you know, in radio land, that's probably nothing, you know, because there's a lot of people who've done hundreds and 300. But I've done 60, so I think that's kind of a milestone for me, you know, that 60 shows. That shows you that I'm doing something right. I'm still here. I'm going to try to remain here, okay? All right. This is George Wilder, if I can get it out of my throat. George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And I see I have a caller on the line. I'm thinking that it may be my guest, T.K. Ware. Okay, let me just make sure. Here we go. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, T.K. Ware?
Yes, this is me, yes.
Yeah, I have to make sure because some people call in and you pretend that they're you. So I have to, make sure because my screen is kind of fuzzy here. Let me read a little something about you before I bring you actually on into the show, okay?
Okay.
All right, T.K. Ware, raised in Albany, Georgia, a young man endowed with creativity, moved to the city of Macon, Georgia, to continue his education. Upon graduation, the creativity began to merge. Kentrell would oftentimes drift away and find himself writing from the imagination that lingered within. This led to the creation of a Christian CD entitled L.O.C., quote, The Love of Christ. Upon completion of high school, Kentrell traveled to the great state of Alabama by way of an athletic scholarship to Lurline B. Wallace College. I hope I didn't destroy it. Kendrell, being a man of vivid imagination, would discover his creativity while obtaining studies at the local college. Kendrell was drawn to particular classes that promoted his creativity. These included psychology, English, and history courses that's just to name a few. Okay? Okay, welcome Mr. Ware to the show.
Thank you for having me on. It's an honor to be here.
No problem, no problem, man. And this book, I mean, I was drawn to this book because, you know, I'm just an advocate for negative peer pressure that happens sometimes with our youth.
Yeah.
And I was drawn to the book. And I wanted to ask you something because it's curious. The book is written from a teen's point of view.
Yes.
How did you manage that?
I'm glad you asked. Most of my books, for the most part, everyone who are familiar with my writings, I try to explain to them when they meet me that I never know what I'm going to write. It's when inspiration falls upon me, for that moment, I become that character. So as I sat down at my desk and began to write, I could actually feel a teen's sincerity even in his efforts, even if misled. So at that moment, I became that 17-year-old, and I was able to just write as if I were, because of my heart, as yours, my heart goes out toward the young people. It's always have been that way. So I write because of the things I know they are dealing with, or some of the things I've dealt with on a minor level.
I mean, you really convinced me that I was actually reading something that a teen had written. I mean, that's got to be something. I mean, you got the characters all there, and the story is riveting, I think. I mean, it could be a story of just about any teen out here who is going through struggles like that. But I think, you know, are some of the characters and the events in the book based on real situations? Maybe some situation that you've experienced, or have you known someone else to experience and you just kind of incorporated it into the story?
Yes, to a certain degree. Because of my lifestyle and because of my upbringing and when I drifted off in high school, for the most part, no kid, teenager, wishes or wants to be inducted into the whole arena of peer pressure, but it happens because especially being a new person in the school, people are going to pick on you. But when it becomes threatening is when that peer pressure shifts into bullying. So now the kid has to defend himself in a way that they really were not prepared for. So I've dealt with that on a minor level and seeing it, more so seeing it from afar, and many of the people I come in contact with and seeing it and paying attention and being around the teens. Even at my church, I'm around the young people, so I can kind of feel the problems they're going through.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it kind of prompted me to write this book for the young people so that it's twofold, so that the young people can see the dangers that peer pressure and bullying can lead into, and so that the adults can see and recognize behavior when it's displayed, like in the book with the character David.
Okay, all right. You know what? I mean, because that's one of the things that drew me to the book is bullying. Because I think some of us, if not most of us, have, you know, been a part of that bullying. I mean, we've experienced it. I know I have. I mean, when I was going to grammar school and high school, I mean, this guy was this guy was dead on me, you know. So I couldn't catch a break. Okay. So I know about bullying. And plus, I mean, when my son was young, I used to walk into school. And I used to have to go up to school sometimes and just pull the bullies off of him. They would have him down on the ground. And he's not like that. He was never like that. He was never a fighter or a bully or anything. He was just a mild kind of a kid. So the bullies at his school, I mean, there were so many of them. And the teachers would always say they were going to do something about it. They never did. I had to wind up taking him out of the school.
Right, right.
Yeah. So you've been writing for a while. So you've been writing for a while. What made you choose this particular book to talk about?
Well, when I first began writing, it was all new to me. And it's one thing to have a gift, but what makes the gift blossom is when you learn knowledge of the gift. And so as I began to understand the craft itself, and I ventured off into different books, whether it be inspirational, devotional, romance, suspense, mystery. And all along, most of the characters in my book, the age was never identified, but it can even be implied for a young person.
To anyone.
So, yes. And seeing and being around young people now, it's as if my whole writing has shifted toward young people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I even have another one coming out about a middle school guy. So my whole mindset has shifted toward the young because they are the future generation. I'm young, but I'm not as young as I were. So there are people coming up that need a voice, and I step in and become that voice.
And I applaud you for that. You're exactly right. People are coming up, and they need mentors. They need they need people to look up to. They need a hero, somebody to look up to. You know, and that's great. That's wonderful because a lot of these kids don't have fathers. The parenting may not be that good for some of them, you know. So they need an outlet. They need someone, or, you know, they might wind up, you know, you don't want them to wind up in jail or in trouble. But
exactly.
We want to catch them before they get there, you know. And I think a lot of people should read your book because I think that you have a lot to say in it, and I love it. I liked it. I mean, I was reading. I downloaded it. I bought it. I mean, I, you know, enjoyed it, and I'm telling everybody that I know on Facebook and other places to buy the book. It's a good book. It's a great it's a short book. It's like it's a good story. I think there's a good moral there, and one of the things I do like about when the book ended, it was a happy ending.
Yes.
you don't find that much in a book. You don't find happy endings. You find where they just, you know, cut the story off and that's the end. But you ended your story with a happy ending.
Yes. And the reason why I chose that particular ending is because of the drama.
Do you think it's a happy ending? Or?
Yes. Because I chose that particular ending. Well, rather, it chose me because of the different trials and tribulations he went through. And in spite of everything he went through, from heartache to peer pressure to bullying, then there's always a shining light at the end. As they say, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. So a lot of teens are going through peer pressure now and bullying now, but that is not the end.
Yeah.
That's not the end of their life. So that was the.
But I guess But I guess what I'm saying, he got back with his father.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Hey, do you have an excerpt you can share with my audience or share with the people?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay.
Let me grab it right here.
All right, take your time. Still there?
Yes,
hello?
I'm here. Yes,
okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm pulling it up on my Kindle myself.
Okay, all right. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, and I'm talking with Kendra Ware. He's discussing his book, If I Could, A Son's Plea. We're just waiting
all right,
for
I
him
have
to.
It.
Okay, good. Here he is.
I'll share a part. Do you want me to read the entire first chapter, which is short?
It's up
which
to you. It's up to you.
All right. I'll share this part. And before I read it, I want sort of the reader to know what's going on. This is the end. This is the end of the story. And I placed it at the beginning so that they can see what he went through. And as the story begins, you'll begin to see why that ending came into play. Young 17-year-old is in the hospital. And he's on near death, regretting his choices. And I will begin to read. My eyes open and close. I catch a quick glimpse of the people in the room and hear a fading echo from the heart monitor. As I think about my past, remorse bleeds into the crevices of my torn heart. Since I'm in this hospital, I might as well prepare for my departure. I like the way that word sounds. It gives off the illusion of a specific journey that an individual is about to take. One of my favorite poetic lines is written by a 21st century poet. Life is a journey traveling through cities. Just because I'm in high school doesn't mean I don't understand poetry. I love how the poet categorizes life as a journey and our experiences as cities. As for me, my cities were created from bad choices. It is because of those choices that my body is resting subconsciously on this cold hospital bed. My body's temperature, I get up off the bed, at least a part of me does. My hands are transparent along with the rest of my body. I yell, but no one hears me. Their weeping never breaks. My future looks bleak and bound toward an inevitable eternal abode. So here I am, staring down at myself as fear slowly grips me. If only I would have listened to the words of my grandmother 3 weeks ago. Never let someone lead or peer pressure you into doing evil. Bad company corrupts good character. At that time, I had no idea what she was talking about. Now, I understand, but it's too late. People crowd the room like they're visiting an amusement park, and I'm the main attraction. If you walked in, their facial expressions would paint a vivid picture of grief. Look at my brother, the little Bible thumper, standing beside my mother. I can still remember every word he told me. He is so young and overzealous. I think he got those characteristics from my grandmother. I have no idea why David is in here. I haven't seen him in years. Why is he even here? He's a bum. I don't know why my mother named me after him. I hate him. I wish he was dead. Look at him, standing next to my mother as if he's really concerned. It doesn't matter what my mother says. He's not my father. I don't have a father. Looking at him sickens me. His eyes look like a drunken awakening from a night of lavish drinking. Every minute or two, he shakes his head at me with a look of disapproval. Can you imagine the nerve of him looking at me like that? I'm minutes away from death, and he's staring at me like I disobeyed him. Where were you at, David? What folly advice did you give me? I can answer that. Nothing. I wish he could hear me. I could care less about his approval. He doesn't exist to me. My mother is the only one who is weeping nonstop. You know, I think she blames herself for my behavior, but it wasn't her fault. I wish I could tell her. Now my grandmother sits, weeping and grasping her Bible tightly. Unlike the rest of them, she talked to me on countless times about my lifestyle, but I ignored her words like a foul odor. Like most hard-headed people, I didn't listen to her advice, and I did things my way. My way. Those words were the front runner of all my choices. As a matter of fact, I have no idea who all of these other people are crowding up this room. I say that because even though we're related, I still don't know any of them. I don't know why I allowed peer pressure to lead me down a terrible path. I never thought I'd be lying here connected to this machine that's pumping my heart. Maybe I'm supposed to tell my story so that you won't allow peer pressure to lead you down the same path as I did. If I could live this life again, I'd make wiser choices. I vaguely know.
Wow.
But there were happy moments in life. If only I could go back to the moment when my dad held me up in his arms at the beach. During those years, I was a virgin to pain, struggle, and grief. The only emotion I knew was happiness. I remember it like it was yesterday. The sun was setting as a gentle breeze skipped across the deep blue waters. Kids were running along the beachside with dogs, and people were cuddled up together, basking in the beauty of the moment. My mother was pregnant during that time with my little brother. She stayed up in the hotel while my dad and I walked on the beach. That's the only memory I can think of at the moment. If only I could go back
Kendra,
to that day. The end of it.
I hate to interrupt. Oh, that's the end. Oh, man, that sound, that was powerful. That was really powerful. And the way you put it was like, you know, you stepped in the role of the characters in your book. Step into the, you know. Kendra, I have a caller on the line. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air with Kendra. You have a question for him?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, I don't have a question. I just have a comment. That was just powerful. It really was.
It was powerful, wasn't it?
Yes.
Thank you.
That's all I got to say about it. I'm glad I called.
Well, I'm glad you called, too. I'm pretty sure the author is, too. Okay, you just hang around and listen, all right?
Okay,
all right. Okay, that was a guest caller. Okay, Kendra, do you think that this book probably could be required reading for maybe grammar and high school kids?
Yep, that we are venturing into. We're going to travel and go around the schools, and we're going to, along with the team that works with me, we're going to present this into different schools and different places and hold different readings to bring people in and speak about the dangers of peer pressure and bullying and how it ties into the story so that it can open the light on some of the young people to see that you being bullied or peer pressure, don't sit there in silence, because silence is agreement. You can speak
exactly
and tell someone, because you shouldn't have to go through that. And it's not their fault.
Right. That's just the same thing I try to tell my son. I said, if you're being bullied at school, tell me. Because if you don't tell me, it's nothing I can do.
Yes.
But because there's a lot of, you know, that can be contacted to help to stop this kind of thing in school. And like you said, people, you have to let people know what's going on or nothing can be done.
Yes. So that's going to be our next step. We're going to go from
okay
coast to coast.
School to school. Yeah. Because you know what? Because I think the reason why I brought that question up, because I thought your excerpt was so powerful and dramatic that I'm saying, wow, this could be required reading for, you know, like other books are required reading.
Right.
You know, in some of the public schools, the other books are required reading. This could be one of those books. You know, it's dramatic. I mean, it's your book is clean. I don't think there's any curse words in it. I haven't ran across any anyway.
You won't run across one in mine.
But, you know, I wish you all the luck in the world in getting this book into the schools. I mean, there is books that I have written that I'm trying to get into schools, too. So, you know, it's kind of rough because there's so much competition out there. So you have to kind of think of that. How did you come up with the title for this book?
When I was traveling and just observing people, a lot of the titles that I write, I'll walk by someone and it's as if a voice whispers to me, like inspiration rests. Well, every writer understands inspiration. And I would hear the title, and when I heard the title, I would see the picture, an image within my mind of the entire story. And within that moment, I would have to write to capture it. And if I could, then a son's plea. And it came to me just almost as easy as water falling from the clouds. And as I wrote it, I continued nonstop until I finished it. And I knew when it was finished.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's a nice title. It's a kind of title that'll catch your eye. A son's plea, if I could. And it caught my eye. Title really caught my eye. And then I was wondering about the cover design. Did you do that yourself or did someone else do it?
I had a lot of input with it. So
I guess you can
say 50-50.
Okay. Then you had a part in it, right?
Yeah.
But it's a great cover design because it's like a silhouette and the guy's sitting down, he's got his face in his head or something, he's bending over, you know. It's a dramatic image, you know. So it's great.
Thank you.
No problem. What else do you have to say about bullying? Because that's a serious issue.
And a lot of times the individual who is administering the bullying, he himself is dealing with things at home, and instead of resolving it, then he takes all his frustration on those whom he seems to be more prone to attack. So every bully himself either has been bullied or is dealing with an issue at home. And so instead of dealing with it there, they bring it to another environment and lash out. And so all of it can be resolved through counseling, through intense understanding of individuals' mindset, because everyone's upbringing is different.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true, because you know what? Bullying is not only, you know, a young people's problem. You got some adults who are bullies too. Yeah.
Yes, that is, you are absolutely true. Because bullying comes in all shapes and forms, and it's not always physical.
Exactly.
Verbal bullying.
Verbal, yeah. I've experienced bullying from adults, you know, in every facet of my life. But, but basically we're trying to get it at the root here in schools, the children here, yeah. Okay, your book seems to grab the readers and pull them in on the story. How important is that for writers, is to pull the readers in on the story?
Well, it's similar to a movie preview. You only have a short window to catch someone's attention. So with the thought, as you said earlier, with so many writers and authors coming out and the millions upon millions of books, then you have a small window. The first five pages to capture the reader's attention. So your first sentence has to be the hook. because once you can
hook
them,
exactly,
then you can then they'll okay. Let me see what else this story is about. But if your first few pages is melodrama or if it's filled with just backstory with no progressiveness, then if your characters are not real, then it's going to make someone put it down and maybe grab another book that catches their interest either by illusions or different descriptions.
Yeah, that's what I've always said. You got to, at least if you don't catch them by the first sentence or the first paragraph, you have to catch them at least by the first page.
Yes.
You know, because if you catch them by the first page, they're going to turn to the next page and the next page and the next page.
Yes.
So I have read a lot of books where, I mean, they don't get really into the book on the first page or the first chapter. You have to wait almost until the middle of the book to find out what really is going on, and
yes,
that's not going to capture the reader. The reader wants, I mean, especially if you want that reader to purchase that book, you got to catch him because there's, like I said before, and you've said, there's a thousands and thousands of authors and writers out here, and if you got a book, you're competing with those authors and writers also. So you have to be really, really on the money at the opening of that story.
Yes, yes. That is true. That is absolutely
true. How do you motivate
true.
Someone? Yeah. How do you motivate someone to write who is not motivated? I mean, how do you keep people writing? There's a lot of people who write and they give up. There's a lot of people who write and they let other people, you know, influence their writing and they give up. How would you try to say keep writing and don't let nobody else, you know, try to tell you not to do that?
One thing I would say is, because I've, you know, read it and I've seen it many times, different quotes from many famous authors, that instead of trying to fit into someone's perceptive or their opinion of how a writer should be, write your story.
Right.
Deal with the editing part later and fixing it up and make sure the plot, but get your story out. Write your story first. And if you write your story, then you'll be excited for the published product even if others won't. As long as you are happy with your product, you don't have to try to please the masses, but please self, and in the process, as you learn the craft, then others.
Others will follow, you know.
Yes.
That, you know, because I do see people who are, you know, well, they let other people, you know, tell them that they can't do it. You would think at this day and age, people wouldn't allow other people to influence what they do, what they do not do, you know, because a lot of people don't want to see you successful.
And
you know, they don't want to see you doing anything that might, you know, elevate you to, you know, doing better things. So I always tell people, if you love what you do, keep doing it.
Yes.
If you love what you do, do not worry about money, you know.
Yes, 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 yes.
If you love doing it, do it. And if you love it, the other people who discover your work, they're going to love it because it's going to be love within those pages.
Yes,
I
yes.
think. You know, so. So,
I agree,
you know,
wholeheartedly.
Keep doing. If you love writing, keep writing. You know, don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anybody, you know, tell you that you're not good at this or you're not good at that. If you think you're good and at least someone else have told you that you're good, then keep doing it. Because I have had people started off writing and they stopped. It just stopped. And that makes me sad, you know.
Yes.
Because
yes.
And there's no way you can convince them to restart their, you know, writing career or whatever. Because I love writing. I love it. I will always love it, you know, no matter what. You know, whether I get 1 cent for it, I'm going to keep doing it.
Exactly.
But once you got a book out there, you have to let people know that it's out there or it's going to sit there.
That is
and that's
absolutely
what I try to do.
True.
No matter how good it is, if you don't get it out there in somebody's face, they're not going to read it. You know, they're not going to know
yes.
it's there.
Because, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Tell people where they can find your books and your book and books, because you got quite a few of them out there.
Well, you can find all of my books at any online store, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. And if you have a local Barnes & Noble, Books A Million within your city, you can go in there and also get my books. And you can go to my website at www.tk-ware.com, and you'll see all of my books, my upcoming projects, my traveling schedule, the different book events that I have scheduled for this year, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth.
Oh, you're going to be quite busy, huh? Oh, wow. Okay. Before we go off the air, is there anything else you would like to say to the listeners out there about your, you know, what you're doing, your projects, or you want, anything else you want to add?
The only other thing I would add is if you have a dream, never give up on your dream. And mm-hmm. whatever your dream is, don't do it for the money, but do it because you love it. And mm-hmm. if you do it because you love it, mm-hmm. then through your passion, everything else will come.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been talking to T.K. Ware on the Wilder Network. You're a very gifted young author. Make sure you pick up his book, If I Could, A Son's Plea. It's a very good book. It's very powerful. As you might have heard, the excerpt, I've got it. I've downloaded it, and I've enjoyed it. And you can take my word for it. It's a great book. Hey, thank you very much, T.K. Ware, and I hope we can talk again, all right?
Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Bye-bye. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was fun. That was fun. That was fun. Okay, I'm going to take a break here. We're going to do this, and I will be right back. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
I'm back. It's still a beautiful day in Chicago. I'm still sitting in my studio, and I'm looking out on the Broadway or the sidewalk or whatever you want to call it. I'm near the lake, and I believe it's 56 or 57 degrees outside. It's not quite spring, but it's better than winter time. And I want to shout out a thanks to my radio guest, T.K. Ware. He was just on talking about his book. Very dramatic, very explosive, you know, and I think it's a great book. It's a wonderful book, and I do think that it's worth being in some of the public schools around here. I mean, I think it should be required reading. And if you're out there, if you're listening, if you podcast the show for later, make sure you go download that book, you know, and help the guy out and help him try to get him into school. Because a lot of the bullying is, you know, going on in school. A lot of the bullies, that's where it takes place most of the time, in schools. And bullying, just like everything else, is is going to be around for a while regardless. But anyway, let's move on to something else. Thank you for T.K. Ware, author, young author. He gave you all this information. If you can't remember it, podcast the show for later, and then take it all down. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Beautiful Chicago, wonderful Chicago. Okay, let's talk about some things in the news. Americans are joining ISIS. Americans, from what I understand, 25 or more Americans have gone overseas to join ISIS. These are Americans going to join a terrorist group to fight against Americans. That's something else. I mean, that's got to be weird. I mean, you leave in your country, you hate your country so badly that you're going over overseas, Middle East, to join ISIS to fight against your country, the country that has given you everything. Everything. However, I mean, if Americans want to defect over there and then rail against their own country, a fight against their own country, I mean, if they're shot dead in the ground, it's their fault. You know, I mean, if, you know, I mean, you don't do that. You don't go over there. I mean, I think that's wrong. I think that's totally wrong for Americans to only a few, maybe not even a handful of Americans decide they just hate America and they want to fight against America, their own country. So whatever they reap, whatever they sow, they're going to reap. Okay? All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. There's a lot of things in the news. Wow. It's just that I was talking about this yesterday on the show where this guy, Al-Shabaab, this terrorist group in Kenya, 150 people, and they're vowing right now as I speak to kill again. Just like ISIS, this group, Al-Shabaab, they're a terrorist group. They're murderers. They're thugs. They just like ISIS, this group, this terrorist group, need to be taken out. There is no room on God's earth for these killers like Al-Qaeda, jihadists, whatever they call themselves, Al-Shabaab, if that's the way you pronounce it. It doesn't matter. They're terrorists. They're crooks. They're thugs. They should burn in hell for what they've done. I mean, these 150 people who have died is ridiculous. And that's why I'm saying now, and I've said in previous shows, that the world seems as if it has gone completely, completely mad, you know? So this is crazy. And But America and other countries around the globe, I mean, we should get together with our allies and just go over there and take these thugs out. Because I think if we don't take these thugs out over there, they're going to come over here soon. Soon they're going to try and get over here. And with all the technology and the hacking and identity thieves and identity theft, they can do it. They can do it. So what we have to do is go to the root and get these guys. I mean, they're kidnapping 300 and 400 girls. What's this guy, Boko Haram, or whatever his name is? I mean, you got these African warlords in different parts of Africa, and they're just wreaking havoc on the people, on the innocent people, the children. They're raping children and you know, getting away scot-free, like it's, you know, prostituting women. I mean, beheading their own people, you know. So something has to be done. We can't. A lot of these countries overseas, they don't have any kind of government. They don't have any kind of laws. They walk around with guns on their hips like they're cowboys or something. It's just awful. And the United States, Canada, and a lot of these other countries, rich countries, get together, get the military equipment together, get the soldiers and all of this kind of thing, and go over here and just take these thugs out. I mean, I'm not an advocate for murder. I'm not an advocate for killing. But when you've got so many of these thuggish terrorist groups over in the Middle East, they're, like I said before, they're beheading, they're burning people alive, they're kidnapping girls, they're killing innocent college kids who are trying to get an education so they can better themselves. It's just crazy the way things are happening in the world. And seem like someone somewhere is just letting it happen. These guys are going to kill again. They said they're going to kill again. They're going to kidnap young girls again and hold them for ransom. Because if you don't catch them the first time, they're out there to do this again. They're out there to repeat what they've been doing. So I would, you know, call on President Obama to get himself and his friends together and go over there and take out these thugs, Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, jihadists, whatever these thugs are calling themselves. They should just call themselves what they are, terrorists, no matter who, where they come from or where they live. They're terrorists, they're murderers, they're thugs. And from I've heard somewhere that the weapons that these guys are using to kill people over there in the Middle East, some of those weapons are made in America. Yeah. So but you know what? It's for me, it's like, you know, people don't kill people, guns don't kill people, people kill people with guns. Yeah, that's the way I see it. But if you disagree with me on that, then you can always inbox me and say, George, I disagree with that. I said, all right, okay. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's getting dark, but not as dark. You know, it's kind of gray out. I presume that the sun has gone down. I don't try to presume anything. The sun is going down, and it's getting dark, but it's a beautiful dark. I mean, just because there's darkness doesn't mean there's not a beautiful darkness, you know. And like I said at the top of the show, happy Easter. Happy Easter, everyone. I hope you have a great Easter. Easter Sunday is tomorrow as I speak on this show. So by the time you hear it, it'll be past Easter. But that's okay. It's fine. Every show is practically a good show. You know, there's always great guests on this show. You know, I always have wonderful guests, knowledgeable guests. You know, guest I would like to have back on the show. If you invited back to this show, you have to say, tell yourself, I must have been good. Yeah, yeah. And we had a caller. She just said she wanted to listen like everybody else. That's great. That's wonderful. That's fine. Because when you miss a show, you miss a lot on this show. Because I try to throw the kit and caboodle into this show. I try to be a fun guy. And I always tell everybody, thanks for listening. Keep listening. Always listen. Because there's always something to know. There's always something to find out. There's always something to do or to say on this show. I try to come up with the best topics. I try to come up with the best guests, you know. And I try to come up with stuff that is totally informative to my audience and also informative for me. Because, like I said before, you're never, ever too old to learn. When you get too old to learn, you're dead. Let me say that again. When you get too old to learn, you're dead. You know, so it's a great, I mean, that's true, but I'm talking to my audience right now. It's great to be with you, no matter what. It's great to be with you. You know, it's one, and I'm glad you're there. I'm glad you're going to podcast the show. If you podcast the show, don't forget my other shows. I have plenty of shows that you can download and podcast and listen to, okay? All righty, this is the George Wilder Jr., and I'm on the Wilder Network, the Wilder Network, and I will be right back. Always wonderful, always wonderful.
Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Okay, there's a story out of San Francisco where police officers were suspended for sending racial texts. Police officers, I think there was around 7 police officers were suspended because they were sending racial texts. You know what? I just think there's just something wrong with the police in this country. I just think, you know, I try to be one of those guys that try to give the officers a break. But things are just happening, you know, too constantly and all the time and just all the time with police officers. Brutality, police brutality, it just has run amok. I mean, you've got all kind of videotape out there, surveillance tape, that shows this, that's witness to this. They are fact. That police brutality in this country, I can't speak for other countries, but this country here, They just run amok. Every time you look around, you see in a video where a police officer is killing someone. I mean, when they shoot, they really shoot. They don't stop shooting until the bullets are all until they ran out of bullets. I mean, these cops, they shoot. When they taser, they don't stop tasing until you're dead. Because a lot of people can't stand to be tased, especially if they have a heart condition. So I can't be as simple, I can't sympathize with the police like I have in the past, because I'm seeing too much of this repeated behavior over and over and over again, and the behavior is always towards African Americans. And there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Now we got these guys from San Francisco, and we got people, we got police officers that have been sent to jail for brutality, just serving time. And some are still on their way. I mean, these police officers, they think they're gung-ho. They try to act so macho and so tough, you know, because they're police officers. You know, I've witnessed the police officers just berating a black American just to help, just to be berating someone. And did you see the video, the viral video of this officer? I forget where he is, where this happening is, but he's berating a driver, a motorist. He was berating, I mean, really, really berating this motorist. I mean, the videotape was running. Somebody took, you know, phone video of this, and it's on YouTube, and it's gone viral. And guess what? This officer who was berating the motorist, he's apologized. He said he was sorry. In other words, this officer, this police officer, admitted that he was wrong. He was admitting he was wrong. It is just something wrong with the police culture in this country. Even I, George Wilder Jr., a radio host, I'm getting a little nervous about walking down the street and there's a police officer walking behind me. I wonder what's going to happen. Some of these guys are totally out of control. There's no doubt about it. Some are totally out of control. They think they're better than the people who are walking on the streets. They think they're better than the people who are not police officers. Obviously, their racial profiling is something they're not. In some states, there's no need for racial profiling, but the police officers are going to do it anyway. It's going to happen anyway, you know. But these guys, some of these guys are totally, totally out of control. There is no doubt about that. I wish I was wrong. But I you know, I'm watching these videos and these things that have gone viral. And videotape do not lie. And that's one of the things that is so good for people who have complaints against a police officer. Because if it wasn't for videotape, police officers would be lying their asses off. If it wasn't for videotape, they would be lying their asses off. There is no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that. Here we go. Yeah, caller, go ahead. Caller? Okay, I thought I had a call on the line. I actually did have a call on the line, but somehow they didn't respond. Okay, so I was talking about police brutality. Okay, so it has something. It's got to stop. It has got to stop. Police are going to jail every single day for this kind of thing, and it's too rampant. You know, every time you look around, there's a police officer beating up on some innocent person. Or there's four or five police officers trying to handcuff one innocent man. Or some police officer pulling his gun and shooting another man because he mistook a cell phone for a gun. It's just too rampant. Something has to be done. And every time I think about it, the police department, they're always talking about that they have to do a better job at communicating with the residents in the neighborhood. Well, this is not going to make it any better. This is not going to make it any better. Okay? We have to do something about this brutality. I had a couple of cops in my house the other day. I was kind of nervous. But because all of this videotape that I was seeing of them being brutal. You know, I mean, you got documentaries out there on police officers that are being brutal, you know, to African-Americans of color. Everybody knows that the majority of the people in this country who are stopped by police are African-Americans. Everybody knows the majority of the people who are in prison are African-Americans. Everybody knows that most of the crime in this country, some people want to disagree with me, are committed by African-Americans. You know, but still in all, that gives no right for a police officer to profile anyone. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Thank you. I love you all. Here we go. I'll be right back. Hey, everyone. This is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me. Hey, everyone. This is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio. Thank you. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for calling in. You called in. Thank you very much. I just love this show. I really love this show because I have some of the greatest listeners. I have some of the greatest guests on this show, and I'm glad. And I thank everybody who comes on the show and do a good job explaining and telling everybody out there where they can find their book. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. My call in number is 347-857-1762. Okay, we have a hot summer coming up. And when summer is here, the crime goes up. When the weather gets better, crimes go up. This has been a hell of a Easter weekend. So far in the city of Chicago, I can't speak for Detroit or Cincinnati or Wisconsin unless I get those statistics, if I can say the word. But I do know we've had a violent start in Chicago for the Easter weekend. Shootings, killings, murders, stabbings, you name it. We've had it. So this is probably this Easter weekend, and I hate to say this, this Easter weekend in Chicago is probably going to go down as one of the deadliest weekends in Chicago's Easter, this Easter weekend. The weather's getting better. The thugs are coming out. They got guns. So this is one of the deadliest weekends. And it's still going on. I'm broadcasting this show. This is Saturday the 4th. Yeah, tomorrow's the 5th. So we still got a lot of weekend to go. We still have a lot of weekend to go. And as at the sound of my voice, I'm pretty sure somebody's getting stabbed or cut or, you know, beat up or something, you know. So it's going to be a violent weekend because it's already starting to show. It's already starting to show. I mean, once I'm off the air, you know, I'm pretty sure when I go on the internet, I'm going to see all kinds of stuff that has gone on while I was just on the air, you know. So, and it's sad. It is really sad that violence is just never ending. I mean, not just in Chicago, but violence everywhere. You can barely walk the streets. You can barely, you know, take your kids out, you know, outside. Your kids can't play. And it's a double whammy when a bullet comes through your house and you're sitting on the couch watching television and all of a sudden you get hit by a bullet, you know. Or you send your child out to the store and your child gets hit by a bullet, you know. And you're wondering, where is the police? If they were patrolling like they should be, I think here in Chicago we need more police out. And I think that more police should be patrolling, walking the beat. A lot of this could be deterrent against crime. You know, if the bad guys see that there is no patrolling, no police is not patrolling, there's nobody walking the beat, I mean, it's free reign for these guys. You know, and if the police does show up, they show up after the fact. They show up after people have been shot, you know. You always see them after people. I mean, it's like you see a whole army of police after someone has been killed. But before that, you didn't see any police officer walking the beat or patrolling or anything. But the moment somebody gets shot, hey, the whole police station is right there on the scene. Medical examiner, everybody's there. But all they had to do to stop crime was patrol and have those beat officers walk in the neighborhood and communities, you know. So it's going to be a violent summer. It's going to be a violent summer. So I'm telling everybody once again, like I tell you all the time, keep yourself safe, especially if you are in urban areas. You live in cities. Yourself safe. Nobody's going to keep you safe. You got to keep yourself safe. You go outside, you watch, you stay focused, you stay, you know, safe, and you stay focused. A lot of times, like I've been hearing a lot of crime going on along the lakefront. I mean, the bad guys are jumping on the joggers, you know, the women, the female joggers. They're jumping out on them. They're robbing them, they're beating them, and they're taking their possessions, their cell phones. So no women joggers are safe. I mean, when you're jogging, you make sure you carry something, some mace, a knife, a gun. You have to protect yourself out here in these urban areas like Chicago. Chicago is not a bad city. It is not a bad city, but we do have bad people here. Bad people are everywhere. You know, you lock these people up, people are going to come. One bad person you put down, there's another bad person coming up. You know, so the bad guy is going to always be here. We just got to protect ourselves. Even me, I have to protect myself when I go out. I don't want to be armed to the hilt or armed to the hilt. You know, I want to be comfortable when I go out, but you can't. You never know. Especially for my seniors, they really have to protect themselves, you know, because the bad guys are after seniors more than anything else, you know, because they, you know, they think most seniors are senile, they're losing their memory or whatever. And, you know, so the seniors really have to stay focused. They really have to be aware of their surroundings. You know, we all do. Everybody has to be like that because the bad guys, they have no name. And for us, we always have to remember that crime can happen anywhere to any one time. Just because you haven't been touched by crime there's always a possibility next time you will be. I mean, if you have not been touched by crime, thank your lucky stars. You have been blessed. But a lot of us, we have. I have been, you know, a victim of crime maybe two or three times. And there's others who have, and there's others who have not. But, you know, I think a lot of times where I could have been a victim of crime, I was not a victim of crime because I was aware of my surroundings. A lot of times, if the bad guy know that you know that he's there, he will not bother you. You know, if you know that this guy is following you and you see him following, he's going to stop following you because you see him. Because he's not going to approach you because he doesn't know what you might be carrying. You might have a mace, you might have a knife, you might have a gun. So he is not going to follow you once you are aware of his presence. But if he thinks that you're not aware of his presence, he's going to pounce, whether you have a gun, knife, or whatever, mace or whatever. He's going to overtake you, and probably take your gun and shoot you with it. But then you might run up to a bad guy whom you might be able to negotiate with or compromise with or get an understanding with. You want to try to quell violence against you if you can, if it shows its dirty face. You know, you want to try to quell it if you can. And also, lock your doors, lock your car doors, lock your house doors, your apartment. Make sure you are secure inside of your home or your apartment. Do not open the door for someone you do not know. If you're not expecting anybody and someone's knocking at your door, do not open it. If you don't know the person outside of your door and you're looking through your little pee hole there and you don't recognize these people, don't open it. I don't care if they're the gas man, the furniture guy. If you have been in touch with these people and you know nothing about them and they're outside your door, do not open it. You know, do not open it because you never know who you might be letting into your house. You never know. You know, you can talk to them through the door, but that's about it. They may try to persuade you to open the door, but you know better. No, keep yourself safe. This summer is coming, and it's going to be, from what I'm seeing now at this moment, it's going to be a violent one. I hope I'm wrong. Because I want to enjoy summer. I want my son to enjoy summer. I want to see my friends and fans enjoying summer. You know, but while we're out here, be aware of your surroundings. I don't mean stare at people like you're crazy, but know who is around you, in back of you, in front of you, on the side of you. You know, a lot of people, most people are good people. But you still have to be aware of your surroundings because crime can happen to anyone, anywhere, at any time. So you want to protect yourself. No one else is going to do it. No one else is going to do it. You want to protect yourself. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago. The sun is going down, but it's a beautiful, beautiful evening. It is a beautiful evening. I'm going to take a break right now, and I will be back. Bingo. Hey, everyone. This is George Wilder, Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here. Enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me. Hey, everyone. This is George Wilder, Jr.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
There's a report that Obama and his family are considering, once his presidency is over, he's considering on moving to New York. He wants to make New York his next home. I guess he's giving up. Well, obviously, he's giving up on this city, Chicago, because a few years ago, this was his home. This was his home. They adamantly said Chicago was their home. However, I guess they changed their mind. Obama wants to be near Wall Street. He wants to be near the rich people. Okay, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there who's going to hear this, and they're going to say, George, that ain't right. But Obama is Wall Street. I mean, you can ask any political insider, Washington political insider, and they will tell you Obama is Wall Street. I'm not saying he wants to stay in New York because he wants to be near Wall Street. That was just kind of flippant of me, but you know, it could be true. It could be true, you know. But I'm kind of disappointed that he doesn't call Chicago his home anymore. I think I heard one report where he said that his family, they were going to try and call Hawaii their home. You know, either way, you know, he doesn't want to, they don't want to come back to Chicago. I wonder why. I would like to hear the reason why he, you know, don't want to come back to Chicago, and why he doesn't want to call Chicago his home anymore. You know, I'm guessing that maybe he wants to stay near Wall Street, you know, because he has a lot of friends at Wall Street, you know, the rich people, you know, billionaires, millionaires, you know, stuff like that. He's always been that way. He's always been on their side. He's always been a friend to these people. A lot of people, I've criticized Obama a lot. I'm not saying he's a bad president, but he's not the president that I had expected him to be, okay? There's a lot of people who still love Obama. That's great. That's wonderful. I mean, you know, but for me and for some other people, yeah, we criticize him. I have a right to criticize Obama because, you know, I voted for him twice. So that gives me a right. But you don't have to actually agree with my criticism of him. You know, but I do. I do. I'm kind of a... and then some people don't care whether he comes back or not. Some people feel that maybe he should be near Wall Street because that's his alma mater, sort of speak. So there's a report out there that he's not coming back to Chicago, a place where he called his home for years. For years, for years, for years. And I just wish him all the luck wherever he decides to live. But a lot of people are disappointed. A lot of people are disappointed that he's decided not to return to Chicago after his term is up in 2016. So I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. And I would love to know the real reasons behind why he put Chicago down. I would really love the reasons why. You know, maybe because we're having a hard time getting his presidential library. I don't know, but it's something there. It is something there, and I would love to know the real reason. I don't need him to be a statesman. I don't need him to be a a diplomat. I just need him to be, you know, an individual and just come out and say, Obama, why you do not want to come back to Chicago? What is it? What did we do? Is the crime too high? Maybe the crime is too high for him. Maybe he's afraid he's going to get maced or something. I have no idea. But anyway, it's kind of a disappointment knowing that he decided on New York or Hawaii for his home and reject Chicago. That's all it is. It's a rejection of the city. You know, I mean, I wish him the best. He wasn't the president that I voted for, but, you know, I wish him the best at whatever he does when he leaves office. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. I think the weather is around 58 degrees. I'm near the lake. I'm looking out on the avenue, and it's kind of gray and darkish, but overall, it is beautiful, beautiful. And my call-in number is 347-857-1762. I want to thank my author, guest, T.K. Ware, for being on the show, for being so explosive and so dramatic in his reading of an excerpt from his book called If I Could, A Son's Plea. I think it's a great book. I think it's wonderful. It's easy to read, and it's easy to understand. It's well written. The book is also well formatted. So if I were you, I would pick that book up. You can find it on Amazon. Just like I found it, you can find it. T.K. Ware. Okay, let's move right along. There's something here about Fox News. Okay, I mean, if you think about Fox News, what do you think about? You think about lies. These people, you know what? I don't know where they get their guests. I have no clue of where these people get their guests. How do they book their guests for their show? Because most of their guests, if not all of their guests, and Fox News has been criticized a 1 billion times. So one more criticism from me is not going to hurt. But I would like to know, where do they find these people to talk about? Because basically all these people, all they do is lie. They lie as they look at you. They lie as the camera pans around and settles on their face. They just lie. They come up with all this crazy garbage that they're spitting out there for the viewers. And the bad thing about it, people are buying those lies that they hear on Fox, especially the seniors. The seniors are so vulnerable. Everything they hear on Fox, they believe. Oh, no, Obama, I knew he wasn't S-H-I-T. I mean, Fox is, I used to think that Obama was going to somehow take Fox off the air. But that never happened. He could have. I mean, when you talk about Fox, you talk about Sean Hannity and all those other people on Fox News who are totally against Obama. Fox News is just a Republican outlet for Republican BS, you know. So, and they have railed against Obama. And I believe Fox News is one of the reasons why the Democrats lost the Senate last year in the midterms. And I think it's one of the reasons why they lost the House of Representatives. Fox News played a great part in the governorships around the United States, these governors who now want to break unions. They want to tear unions apart, cut Social Security, cut pensions, you name it. And Fox News has played a big part in it, you know. I mean, the Republicans are so deviant, they're so mean and nasty, but they're winners. Their garbage prevailed. And I used to be so mad at Obama because when Fox News would tell blatant lies on him, he did not respond. He did not defend himself. He didn't say anything. If the Republicans are loud and nasty, he has to be loud and nasty too. Because if he's not, ever lies that they're lying on him about will stick, and people out there will start to believe those lies. Anytime somebody's lying on you, lying on your family, you have to step up and defend those lies. You got to say, that's BS. That's not true. Here's why. You know, Obama never, ever defended himself. I used to hear reports about the Republicans talking about Obama's family, and he never defended them against Republican attacks. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm almost off the air. Tomorrow I will have a smart quiz question for everybody. Another one of those fun smart quiz questions. And let me say again, I would like to thank my guest, T.K. Ware. Go out and find his book. He was a great guest. I hope you enjoyed him the way I enjoyed him and the rest of my audience enjoyed him. And we always have great guests on this show. You missed this show, you miss a lot, believe me. My guest call in line is 347-857-1762. Book that number for tomorrow. Tomorrow I will be back on the air tomorrow, the same time, 6 p.m. Chicago time, Central Standard Time, CDT. So I'm always a lot of my guests get confused on what time they should call in, and I have to explain that to them. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Have a great one, everybody. See you tomorrow. Bye bye.